There's a great temptation for us all to sort of bask in today's gospel, the teaching on God's love and care for us. And it's certainly easy to wax poetic on the beautiful images with which we are presented, birds of the air cared for by God, fields dressed by God, wild flowers more glorious than Solomon in all his glory. The images are beautiful, but we need to be very careful that the image, the truth of what is being said, is not lost in the poetry. And the underlying message is that we are called to faith not just in times of great spiritual experience, not just in times of personal crisis. We are called to faith in the midst of our everyday life and in the face of typical daily needs. Here's the bottom line. Our hearts are restless because we worry. We worry about tomorrow. We fear what might happen, and we think in only some future time will we be happy. Jesus invites us to trust in God, to serve him now. So does the psalmist. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall not be shaken. Now, if you were listening carefully to the gospel, the main worry that Jesus speaks about is material worry. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. I'm told that financial stress is a factor in about 70% of marriage breakdowns. But it goes much more deeply and wider than this. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. But we do. I do. We worry about money, houses, jobs, exams, marriage, health, old age, death, violence, the unpredictability of life. And so Jesus gives us some practical advice. And as always, our Lord doesn't deal with the symptoms, but with root causes. Do not worry. What does he mean? Perhaps a better question is, what does he not mean? Jesus does not mean that we're not to think about the future. Jesus is not giving us an excuse to be irresponsible toward life. If you read the book of Proverbs, for example, you can see that prudent provision for the future is a godly virtue. And true enough, one way to avoid stress is to look ahead and plan. Jesus is not giving us an excuse for idleness. He doesn't say that we can avoid working for a living. The birds of the air work extremely hard, and yet they don't worry. Jesus doesn't mean that we shouldn't be ambitious. If ambition is a strong desire to achieve success, that's a good thing. Our concern should be about our inner motivation, what makes us tick. We should be concerned that we want these things for a good reason. You cannot serve God and mammon, says Jesus. Mammon means more than simply money. It means that in which we place our trust, a substitute for God, an idol, a false god. And Jesus identifies for us the sign of clinging to a false god, worry. A person devoted to an idol becomes consumed with worry. What will happen if I lose the thing that gives my life meaning. Jesus is not saying that we should opt out of our responsibilities. Remember that sermon in October about the Prince of Wales, the Duke of Windsor. A lot of our Christian life is duty. We are stewards who will be called on one day to render an account. And we have duties to our families, to our job, to society, and to the church. Jesus is not saying that we don't have things to worry about. We do. He does not promise us a stress-free life, nor will we get rid of all of the causes for worry. No doubt you've found that when you get rid of one worry, another quickly crowds in. Now, if anybody had a reason to worry, it was Jesus. He faced incredible pressures in his day-to-day life. He had, for instance, no home. He had no regular source of income. He had close friends die. He was deeply misunderstood, even by his own family. He was threatened with death. He was unfairly tried. His entire life was lived under the shadow of the cross, and yet he says, "Do not worry." Why are we not to worry? Well, here are some reasons that occur to me. Number one, to worry is to miss the point of life. Life is more than material possessions. And so often, our worries are about inconsequential things. Standing in line at the supermarket, they have all those magazines. And they get you to worry about stuff. How to lose 4 inches without exercise. How to have alluring lips. How to look younger and smell good. How to cook soups to be passionate about. How to dress to excite and inspire. Jesus is saying that if we only seek external things, we are missing the point. And the point of life is relationships with our fellow human beings and with God. So to worry is to miss the point of life. Secondly, worry is illogical. The birds of the air look for their food, but it's there to be found. You know, in a sense, worry is a slander on God's character, suggesting that he is more worried about his pets than he is about his children. Jesus gives the example of a lily, and I've learned through reading that this is not the kind of lily we have, which is from Japan, but a kind of red flower that blooms in a single day. No ancient ruler, no Hollywood actress could dress so beautifully. And if God will do that for an insignificant flower, why do we worry so much? Worry is illogical. Thirdly, worry is a waste of time. It is unproductive. Jesus points out what medical science already tells us, that worry does not add cubits to your life, but rather takes them away. Ulcers, heart disease, other medical conditions. And so many of the things that we worry about never happen. Winston Churchill once said, "Most of my worst disasters never happen to me." In other words, some of the biggest worries we face often never come to pass. You know, the evil one is constantly trying to get us to live in the future, either fearing something that might happen, or dreaming about a time when everything will be perfect. But God wants us to live in the present moment. We are given reality in 24-hour increments of time. We are to pray for our daily bread, not for tomorrow's bread. We are to love the person that God has placed in our lives today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. So worry is unproductive. Fourthly, worry is incompatible with faith. It is the Gentiles, it is the unbelievers, says Jesus, who worry. And we are called to be different. Worry and faith are like fire and water. They cannot coexist. And faith involves confidence in God's care and provision. And to be a Christ follower, Christian, means walking in a trusting relationship with God. All well and good, Father. How do I stop worrying? Well, remember, Jesus deals with root causes. And he gives us a recipe. A recipe that is at once very simple and incredibly difficult. And it's right there in the gospel. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be yours as well. Root cause. Get your priorities straight. Seek first his kingdom in your home, in your job, in your life, in your lifestyle, and in society as a whole. The standards of the kingdom ought to be the standards of the world around us. We ought to be investing our time, our energy, our money to that end. And many, many people have made a difference, God being their helper. Christians are called to face up to anxieties and fears and worries and problems and to do something about them. Root causes. Jesus says if we establish God's rule and reign, if we get that priority right, all the other things will be given to us as well. That's a promise from him. If we make his priorities our priorities, he will give us everything we need. Very simple and yet incredibly difficult. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to make God's priorities our priorities, and yet that is his recipe. Some years ago, there was a list in, you know, I like lists. There was a list in some magazine of 1,000 books other than the Bible recommended for Christian readers. And number 13 on that list was The Confessions. In that book, a young man from North Africa tells about his search for meaning. At first, he seeks his pleasure and happiness in drinking, eating, and the flesh. When these things leave his soul empty, as they will, he began to pursue esoteric Eastern philosophies. They were much more sophisticated, he thought, than the Bible that he'd grown up on. But something about these philosophies didn't ring true. So he then went on to decide to make lots of money, which he did, and he made a name for himself. And at a certain point, it was like divine intervention, he experienced a conversion, and he wound up dedicating the whole of his life to God, and that young man's name was Augustine. And after St. Paul, he is probably the church's greatest theologian. And St. Augustine summed up his quest for meaning in these words: O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. God, you have made us for yourself, and we are anxious and worried and fearful and problem-ridden. And our hearts are that way until they rest in you. Now, St. Augustine has spoken to Christians down through the centuries because we can identify, I hope, with his experience. Our hearts are restless because we worry about tomorrow. We fear what might happen. We think that only in some future time we will be happy. And Jesus invites us to trust in God, not just in times of great spiritual experience, not just in times of personal crisis, but in the midst of our everyday life. As the psalmist says, God alone is our rock and our salvation. He is our stronghold, so that we shall not be shaken.